Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Deep Dive with Tiffany and myself, Stephen. Now, this week we're talking about something that's it's kind of fun in a sense. Well,
yeah.
It's a big topic because we're always talking about our fertility rate here in Singapore.
Yes.
And we're wondering why people don't want to have kids.
Yeah.
Or why some people really want to have kids.
And they put two of the best people to talk about
this. Yeah,
because between both of us, we have four kids.
Yeah, we replaced ourselves just nice.
But we want to understand, you know, why, not just the fact that we're having this national conversation, but why is it that it's so hard to move, you know, people who don't want to have kids to, you know, the part where we're trying to push people to have kids.
Yeah, yeah. And we're trying to understand what it is, you know, for people here in Singapore to decide to do that. Because it's not a given anymore that we will naturally have children. I think the whole dink lifestyle is very common. Double income, no kids. Parenthood has shifted in the way it has evolved over time and it has changed. And I guess many of these decisions are now part of a lifestyle choice.
Mm.
And that's some of the areas we want to look at today.
Yes, we want to unpack some of this today with Alyssa Chopard. She's in a long-term relationship, but no plans of having children.
Thank you for having me.
And Alicia Lim, she's been married for about 1.5 years and is planning for a kid.
Thanks for having me as well.
So Alyssa, let's start off with you because you're 39 years old. You know, you're doing well professionally. You're in a long-term relationship, but you have made it very clear that you don't want to have children, right? So tell us why.
It's a very big answer. I think we can break it down into maybe four different, you know, parts. I think the first one is I grew up with an abusive parent. So I think the trauma that leaves you takes years to undo. That's the first thing. And then I think when you, as you grow older, you realize you have a lot of blind spots.
Okay.
And that might impact sort of the next generation if you choose to raise the next generation. And I think that's not something that I wish on anyone because I have experienced it and I know what it's like, you know, to be parented by someone who probably hasn't done the work on themselves. The second thing is I was divorced when I was 29. So I did life by the book. I got a job. I mean, graduated from university, got a job, found someone, settled down, moved in to a home, built a home together. So the divorce was like, I suppose, a rug being pulled out from under my feet.
Right.
Everything I knew about what life was supposed to be, as was told to me, changed, right? And then I started to question why that was so. Why do we even have to follow the status quo? Why do we have to follow the way that, you know, we had thought? And then that's, I think, when I decided maybe this is not the path for me.
At that time when you were with your husband, had you guys thought about having children?
We did. We did. So I think that was the natural sort of progression after that. But the divorce sort of changed everything for me and how I view life. I think the third, and I think it's, I think this is the most contentious, is that I can't really think of a reason to have a child that is not selfish. For me personally. I've asked a lot of people, you know, why do you have kids, right? A common answer is, oh, you know, somebody will be there for me when I grow old. I won't be alone. I want to raise the next generation of leaders, so on and so forth. But I think all this is very inherently self-serving in that sense. And then there is the fourth bucket, which is a very big topic. I think it's a lot to do with how we are set up as a society. We are capitalists, first and foremost, which means that the pressure, what we strive for, we're set up for economic success, right? So which woman today would want to take a step back? Because that will set you back 1 to 2 years. And, you know, ultimately, we are dual income households. That's what we're set up for. And if you're asking why the woman, it's because we are essentially patriarchal, right? It definitely falls on the woman, a lot of it. And then I think it's just down to logistics, right? I think smaller homes make it hard for us to look after elderly parents, young kids, plus have a helper in the house.
Cost of living.
So Alicia is nodding while you are saying all of that. Anything in there, you know, really
I totally agree with whatever she just said.
Okay.
But you want to have kids, but yeah. in spite of what she's saying. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I'm 31 this year. I have friends around my age or slightly younger in their mid-20s. And they really know from the start that they're not going to have kids purely because of the reasons that Alyssa just shared. Mm. The cost of living, just societal pressure on how that kids is the next step for them. But that's not what everybody is choosing these days. Mm. But I still choose to have kids. And like she said, I believe to a certain degree when I really simmered down my decision to have kids. It is self-serving to a certain degree. But a difference from her is that when I think about having kids, is a part of me and my husband putting our hope into the future. Mm. That having a kid, there's just two of us and we can shape their lives to perhaps serve society better. I mean, that's what every parent... I mean, from what I have discussed with my young parents' friends, like, they want their kids to contribute something good to society. Mm. And maybe that's why some people choose to have kids, because they believe that they can contribute to society that way. Mm. And whereas some people that choose not to have kids, they contribute their own way. Whether is it them taking care of their elderly parents when nobody can, or taking care of their niece and nephews, or donating to charities that help with children. You don't have to be a parent to hope for the future, but there are some people that choose to put it into a child.
Yeah. Is it very common among your friends around this age where you see a split between, you know, there's a group that really wants to have kids, and then there's an equal number of, you know, people on the other side where they're like, you know, I'm okay without kids because of all the reasons that both of you have described earlier on, there's really no reason for me to have a child.
Oh, it's definitely a quite an even split. Mm. I know of 6 couples that have kids, either their first kid or planning for the third. Mm-hmm. Whereas on the other side, I have the same amount of friends that decided that they are not going to have kids, and to the point that they're even planning vasectomies or even tying their tubes. So it's that drastic of a division. It's not even choosing not to have kids. It's making sure they don't even have.
But you know what? I'm thinking to myself, actually, I never thought so much about having kids. I mean, you guys have put this down and I'm like, wow.
So you're saying that, but don't overthink this.
I think so. Because, okay, I grew up in a family where I have 2 older sisters, but it was also an environment where, you know, and they all have children. And whenever we meet for family gatherings, there'll be lots of buzz and noise, you know. And so I kind of got used to that. And so when it was my turn to get married and with my wife and I, she's also from a fairly large family, it just never occurred to us that we would not have kids. We both wanted children, but we never went down to the point where both of you have sort of mapped out all the things for and against it. You know, I never really thought so far ahead. So I'm thinking, to a certain extent, is it me that has messed it up, or are we really overthinking this a bit too much?
To be fair, I asked my husband on the third date, is he planning to have kids?
On the third date?
Yeah. On the third date, which is about
very fast.
1 month or about 3 weeks into us, like, just dating. So I asked him, like, are you planning to have kids? Then he was like, oh, why are you asking me this now? And I was like, because I want to make sure that if I'm going to continue investing in this relationship and becoming a couple and then subsequently getting married, I want to be on the same page with someone that wants to have kids. I don't want to waste your time. If you don't want to have kids, it's fine, but just I'm not the person to be with.
And I think that's a fair statement.
So what did he say to that?
Was he's he wants kids. He wants 3. I'm just like, okay.
Okay.
Even in a number in mind. That's pretty clear. Alyssa, for yourself, I mean, you're saying when you were married the first time, I mean, kids was kind of on the cards. But is it because you had, at that point, not really thought about it too much and you just thought, well, this is what everyone does. Yes. This is the normal way it happens,
yes,
right?
Yes, but I think this is one of the decisions in life that you really have to think about, because, I mean, the impact I think children have on someone's life is enormous, right? The responsibility, not just impact, we're talking about the responsibility, right? On a woman's body, the career, like everything, your financials. And I think people don't give it enough thought. I honestly think people don't give it enough thought, because I have friends who would come to me and say, don't have kids. Those who have kids, they'll come to me and say, maybe don't have kids, right? And the reason why you are in that, I mean, of course, the reason why you are in that, you can say that, is because you understand how tough it is, right? And how much it has required. And if someone didn't give it enough thought and went into that, then you just have a lot of, I don't know, frustration, resentment.
Regret,
yeah. Yes.
But how do you know? You may have been a great mum.
I'm sure I would have been a great.
Right, there you go.
I'm sure I would have been.
There you go, right?
Because you know what it, yeah, what you shouldn't be doing, right? Mm. So in that sense, did you ever at some point of your life thought, you know, what if I had become a parent? Would I want to parent differently?
Yes, I mean that's undoubtedly, mm-hmm, you know, what would have needed to happen. Mm. But I think I read this. I was watching this video the other day that basically talked about regret. Regardless, mm-hmm, of what you do, mm-hmm, there will be regret. Yeah. You have, mm-hmm, a child, you don't have a child, there's regret on either side. You take this job, you don't take this job, there's regret.
Exactly.
Right? Every decision has regret. So I think it's a matter of asking yourself, which regret can I then live with?
Yep. Mm.
And I'm not sure I could live with the regret of having a child, not doing right by the child, for some reason, whatever reason. I don't think I could live with that regret.
I think that's worse.
That would be much worse.
So what does it look like to do right by a child if you have a child? What kind of setup would you need to have?
That's a very big question. So my father was very hands-on. Mm. My father is one of those parents who is quite strict, very disciplined, but unconditional love. And you, mm-hmm, know that love is not dependent on how you perform, mm, how well you do. I think that is one sort of key component. But of course, my father comes with his own baggage, right? His own challenges and baggage. And he has expressed to me, you know, in the past, the regrets that he has had when it comes to raising me, what he could have done better. Mm-hmm. And I think looking at all that, I think there's only so much unconditional love can do.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, you can set everything up. You can put all the parameters, yeah, in place. But the cards never fall the way that you want it to fall, mm, I feel, in, mm, life, mm, right? And something's got to give.
Do you think we are set up as a country,
no,
or a society to be able to raise kids well?
Nope.
Like, so what?
We're not immediate.
I haven't, oh, okay, I haven't finished, okay, your question. But I want to, right, know, like, what do you think is missing? What else do you think we need?
No, when you say no, we haven't been set up. What do you mean by that?
For, mm-hmm, someone to say that, oh, my kid is feeling unwell in school, and I need to pick them up, your boss will be like, I need you to put in half day leave,
mm,
immediately.
Mm.
And it's not even I just need to step out for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've seen with my friends as well, where it's finding someone to take care of your child when you're not around, it's also a hassle. And even when we want to send them to infant care and things like that, the system is not...
But many will argue that that has changed quite a lot, and many bosses are more flexible and more,
and
you know,
trying,
open and,
you know,
trying,
trying,
you know,
to
so,
move towards that.
I mean, you're saying it's this rigidity that is, you feel is sort of hampering.
I feel that companies in general are still quite, like she said, capitalist. It's the money that comes first.
Okay, okay.
And when their employee is out of commission because of family matters, the onus falls on the employee.
So
the
it's
employee
more the fact that everything is about the money. That's
yes, the money.
The whole meritocracy idea, we're really so, yeah, driven to that. That
yes.
Yes.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
Like, yeah, there's more emphasis on earning the money first and then having a child, which is not the is not the wrong idea. You do need money to take care of a child. But when everything is driven by performance-based, even from a parent point of view,
okay,
it passes down to the child. Oh, you do well, you get A, I give you $100. That kind of mindset starts from young.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about the idea of whether or not modern society here in Singapore, everything needs to be the right environment. We need to have the right environment. We need to have the right finances. We need to have the right setup before we can take that leap to become parents. But parenthood, as I have learned, is super duper messy. You know, I would never get the formula right. So are we changing our expectations, you know, about what we want out of life? Everything must be, you know, perfectly planned.
Or is it more
fair?
Is it more the fact you're saying that now, before you even have kids, you're like, I got to send them to the top school, I got to be able to pay for tuition and, you know, whatever, swimming lesson, piano lesson.
Because I need to give the best for this child that I'm going to bring into the world.
And that's because that's how Singapore makes us feel.
But then could we be the ones to break that and to say, you know, I don't have to over-optimize my life.
Even if you have the perfect conditions, the cards will fall as they may, right? Mm. And it is messy, right? Nobody is saying life is not messy. But I think the way that society has set up, the way that has we are all shaped and molded to be part of this structure is a certain way. Mm. And to get that lifestyle change or that mindset shift, certain things need to happen. And it's not about, oh, you know, our houses need to be bigger. We need to have X dollars in infant care grants, or we need to, I don't know, what else do we like need
actually,
to?
Those were help.
But I'm not saying that that all needs to happen as a perfect formula. No. Mm. I think it's more of a bigger mindset shift where all of us are, you know, we are molded by the society and shaped by the society that we have to operate in, right? And if you think about it, like, for example, now dual income is a must, right, in Singapore because it's very hard to get
because
by. I'm not saying that you can't,
yeah.
but it's hard to get by. Singaporeans have aspirations. You can, have as a choice, take a pay cut. You can live simply, that's all fine, and still raise kids. But how many Singaporeans actually want that, right? We're a bunch of aspirational people.
You mentioned earlier that it's about the mindset. So maybe we want too much. We want our careers. We want to be ambitious, but we also want children and we want the best for them. So we want it all. Like Singapore, we always want to be like the hub, the
not
number
the
one for
time.
Whatever.
We cannot
right
have
now.
It all. Like if you look at the other countries around the world, like if you look at Scandinavian countries, for example, their culture is incredibly different. Their work culture is very different. Their work-life balance is fantastic, right? And they have like family units.
They
a lot of them
centric.
Are. Yeah, they are family-centric, right? So you can't have it all. Something has got to give, right? And I think the way that we are set up for economic success and prioritizing economic success therefore means that something else has got to give.
But I think when I started becoming a mother, I also had this idea that I can't have it all and I want to have it all.
Mm.
And I felt that I was making a lot of sacrifices with my career to become a mother. Mm. But I think now, 7 years into motherhood, I can look back and say, I don't think I actually made the sacrifices I thought was detrimental to my career.
Right.
Mm. So what it is was that I was willing to change my expectations. So I may not always progress in my 20s, I saw how career should be like. Mm. But in my 30s, when I was ready to become a mom, I took a slightly different path, but I wouldn't actually say it was a sacrifice. So I think there will be some women who will also say that, you know, it really depends on expectations and I didn't actually, you know, sort of like take a step down.
Mm. But that's you.
It's a choice.
You see, you managed your own expectations.
Yes, yes.
So there'll be other mothers who are saying,
so
I still want to keep it going.
Yeah.
You know?
So there will be that part that society will have to play and you know, companies will need to say, it's okay, take your time and there will be something for you when you come back, right? Especially to the mothers. Mm. But at the same time, I think internally we need to also be okay with the fact that what we expect in our 20s may not be what we will still expect in our 30s or 40s.
So is there expectations? Do you feel that you will be have to, if you have kids, do you feel that you would have to be giving up something in order to have them and to...
I just had this discussion with my mother earlier today at lunch, because she was someone that chose to have kids even though my dad was a foreigner and wasn't around much, and she was still just building her business. I was like, why would you choose to have kids?
Yeah,
like if you focus on the company first. Then she's like, but I wanted to have kids.
Mm.
And I told myself that I will not sacrifice my dream, which was to be a boss, just because I want a kid. And she still went ahead with me and then my younger sister. So I told her, like, what was your mindset back then in the 1990s? Yeah. Like, what possessed you to think that you could run a company and have two kids at the same time? She said that it was sheer will.
Mm-hmm.
And sheer will and determination. She told me that she will make this work.
Right. If there's a will, there's a way. I often feel that it will be a hard journey. No one's saying it's easy. But if you really want something, you'll find a way to make it work.
Yes.
That's what I asked her. But and I thought, okay, what do you think is the difference between back then and now?
Mm.
I mean, 90s is not that far away. And she told me the main thing is that she feels that society is more judgmental towards mothers now.
She feels that way.
In what way judgmental?
She said in the way that there is, with the advancement of technology, the social media, she said that there are more eyes watching you now, ready to record you at any mess up, compared to back then. When
so she was okay with bringing you to the shopping mall and then you were throwing a tantrum and she knows nobody's going to record you having a tantrum and
something
judging
like
her
that.
Parenthood.
Yeah, something like this. And also when she has to run errands, okay, I was a 9-year-old bringing in stocks. So
right.
That was part of her experience that she feels back then society was more accepting of children being children.
Were there sacrifices your mother had to make in life or with her career?
She brought me along to client meetings.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And I sat at the reception.
Were you quiet?
I was stuck with a book and reading. Mm. But she was more like she made life work for her.
Mm. Yeah. Would you do the same? Would you be willing to bring your kid to client meetings?
I would bring the kid to my office.
Yeah.
Because we're planning to designate a playpen area for
But
the
that's
kid.
Because you can plan
that's
it.
Because we can. So on the other hand, when I asked my friends that are both working employees, the kid has to be in infant care.
Yeah.
Mm. Because their grandparents nowadays are not that willing to take care of their grandchildren or are just not suited to it. Mm. So it's infant care immediately.
Mm.
And there is a part of them feels that, you know, every time they send them infant care, they are not going to catch their first smile or maybe their first steps.
Mm.
It's a heartbreaking decision for every mom to make. But like you said, they need to have the double income to sustain this.
Mm.
So it's really on top of the judgmental society, you're going to have additional financial stresses and also just the emotional bond with your child, missing out on them, their precious time growing up. I feel like the whole conversation about fertility and having children, the mindset shift like Elisa was mentioning about needs to start with us females actually having an open forum with the government. It's not just the government giving us initiatives.
Yep.
It's us having the discussion with them because essentially, we are the ones that are planning to have a child or not have a child. A man can become a father at any age. But, I mean, as females, like she said, a biological clock is ticking. Whether is it, are we going to accept the regret we feel later on of not becoming a mom or wish that we actually froze our eggs or do anything that might let us become a mom in the future. It's our decision to make, essentially,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How can we as a nation help people to understand why some people don't want to have kids?
To be honest, you know, like your mom, there are women who really want to have children,
yeah,
and they will have children, right?
Yeah.
They will do everything it takes to make it work. There are some women like me who are on the fence, not sure at first, and then decide maybe not for me.
Right.
So I'm not sure that you can convince people like me.
Mm.
Right, but it's easy to convince people who are still on the fence, and then of course the women who really want kids and will give up anything to make that happen.
Mm.
They don't need convincing at all, right?
So how do we have conversations to help those people in the middle, the ones that you just spoke about, the people who feel that they are emotionally not ready yet, or they are financially paralyzed at this point of time? How do we have conversations to try and help them make their decision, whether for or against kids?
Actually, I think it's no use having conversations with them. I mean, the conversation is there, but if it doesn't resolve anything, I mean, like, from what you're sharing, it's one of the key factors is the cost, you know, the cost of living in Singapore and the cost of raising a family. So people do take a step back and go like, wow, not sure if I can afford that.
Mm.
And I don't want to bring a kid into the world if I can't afford to take care of them in a good way. You know?
Yeah. Or if they are a contributing member of society, they can contribute something to society, right?
I just did this recently, this interview with my son who is 16, and it surprised me because when we were talking and suddenly I looked at him, I'm like, wow, he's all grown up,
aww,
you know? And in a way, something clicked in me, you know, like from the little kid I've seen. And so there's so much of life that has become a part of my life as well that I cannot imagine being without. So it's for that reason. And it's true, when you start, sometimes you want kids for, oh yeah, my retirement and take care of me when I'm old and things like that. So I don't think it has to be a very logical decision. And I think that's why I think sometimes we do overthink it, because it's expensive, but if there's a will, there's a way.
I think on some level, I personally feel that you need to overthink things a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, because I feel that like too many people I know around me, they don't think about it. And
it's
then
the
they
female
just
perspective.
Honestly, they step into parenthood, and then after that they realize that, oh, this wasn't what I signed up for. And then things get terrible, you know, in the marriage. They become very resentful, and then they just go like, you know, everything is not set up to support me in my right. in my parenthood. So after hearing all of everything, yep. you know, like, you know, everything that, you know, we have put on the table, what makes parenthood still worth it for you?
I've known that I've wanted to be a mom since I was around 16.
Wow.
Like, I knew for mm-hmm. a fact I was going to have children. And that thought has never wavered. The only time there was a slight twinge of doubt was last year when we were traveling a lot. I was like, wow.
So it nice. Would be nice to continue this lifestyle.
But subsequently, when we travel and we see couples with their babies, and I'm just like, well, we can do that too. Yeah. We should be fine.
The babies were good on the flight. They weren't screaming or crying.
I was like, maybe we can. But also, I see my role model being my mom. She made it work. Mm. And she also knew that she yeah. wanted kids from young. So I told myself, okay, if I'm willing to take on the role of being a mom, I just need to make my life work for it. Mm. I need to make my life work around it and do the best job that I can. Mm. You know, wherever the cards fall,
yeah.
and provide what I can for the child. Because essentially, after a while, like you said, your son is 16, he's going to chart his own life path. Yeah. And you can't do much about it after a while.
Yeah. Anyway, my plan is only to put them through university. After that, I'm like, I'm not paying for anything more. The rest is on your own. So I've told them that already.
Find a job.
Yeah, so I said, you better study her and make sure you get into university, okay?
And then after, take care of me. and for you, what do you wish parents would understand about people like yourself who choose not to have children? And what would you wish they understand?
Actually, it's not about like understanding me. It's about sort of understanding people like me. It's more of like understanding themselves.
Yeah.
Like doing the work on themselves, trying to not pass down any, I suppose, baggage, trauma to the next generation. I think that is the... I mean, even if you look at, for example, let's say you love your kid. You love your kid so much to the point of stifling them. That's not good either, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So I think it's these kinds of things that need to be worked out. The work needs to be done in yourself before you bring the next generation in, I think. And then also the motivation. Like, is it something that you want or is it something that society has told you to do?
But the big challenge is a lot of times we don't know ourselves. I mean, you don't know whether you're a good or bad parent. You think you're doing well enough, and sometimes people on the outside may see and say otherwise.
Yeah, but it's still fundamentally still a very personal decision whether you right. want to have children or not, because it's not like, you know, buying something off, you know, an e-commerce platform
and then
yeah,
no.
yeah
no.
and then you,
no,
you
no,
know,
no,
can
no. It's really a lifetime, you know, decision. So yeah, so I mean, I think that's all I think we can expect out of, you know, every conversation we have when we talk about our fertility rate, which is we respect, you know, different yeah, viewpoints, different perspectives, different life choices, right? And so
I guess for us here, I mean, this conversation, for the government point of view, maybe what they should take note is basically do whatever you can to support families, I guess, and to support those who, which means more flexible work arrangements, things like that, which I think is something we're trying to do, but it will take time in changing that mindset. And then for those who don't want to have kids, I mean, great, you know, just work harder, earn more money, contribute to the economy so that we balance out the GDP, you know.
Yes. Take out your niece and nephews.
Yes. Godparents, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, so folks who are listening in, I mean, many of you may be thinking about this, wondering whether to have kids yourself, and, you know, if any of these issues have resonated with you and you have some thoughts to share, drop us a note. We'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, that's it for this week's Deep Dive. See you next week. Bye.